All right, when I found out I had a split sermon today, I was wondering what I was going to speak on. And so Ann came into my office and said, you know, we just went through the days of unleavened bread and the Passover, and nobody mentioned the wave sheaf offering. I said, yeah, you're right. Nobody mentioned it. So I started looking in the church website to see what I could find. And wouldn't you know, I misspelled the word sheaf. So they said, we don't have anything like that. So I'm wondering, well, if they don't have it, maybe Google has it, you know. So I go into Google, and then I have the right spelling because they corrected it. And I looked up wave sheaf in Google, and the first thing that came up was an article by an old friend of mine, and most of yours too, Jerry Ost, about the wave sheaf offering. I thought, my prayers have been answered. So, as you know, Jerry was a minister here in 1990 to 1994. And you may know that both Jerry and Mary Ann have had some health issues lately. And according to an email from Philip, their son, this morning both are doing better. I think Jerry had a appendix that broke, wasn't that right? And Mary Ann had a pacemaker that needed to be updated, so that was taken care of at that time. So they're both doing pretty well now, so wouldn't be surprised if they're not both back at the General Conference of Elders, because Jerry is, if you know Jerry, he's a talker boy, and he loves going there and talking to everybody. Used to like to have breakfast with him, and because there was always something to talk about. So the wave sheaf. The agricultural cycle of ancient Israel revolved around two harvests, one in the spring and one in the autumn. Now, before any grain could be harvested in the spring, an annual ceremony took place to inaugurate the spring festival or harvest season. Pentecost is an annual reminder of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church. However, the festival holds even more significance. A clear understanding of the events leading up to the Feast of Pentecost makes its importance much clearer. This ceremony was the waving of the first sheaf of grain to be accepted by God. Instructions for this ceremony are detailed in Leviticus 23, verses 10 through 14. So let's turn over there and see that. Leviticus 23, 10 through 14. It says, speak to the children of Israel, excuse me, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. Who can tell me what a hin is? Anybody? I don't have the faintest idea either, so I thought maybe somebody would have. Not even Lee Lisman? Come on, Lee. What's a hin? Oh, it's a female chicken. Thank you. All right, now I've lost my place. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. No one was to eat any of the grain of the harvest until the first sheaf of the harvest was brought to the priest, who in turn waved it before God. What was the significance of this ceremony? Well, the significance, Christ Jesus, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Christ is all over this seemingly interesting display of that first sheaf. So this first sheaf of grain was called the first fruits in Leviticus 23:10. It was the first fruits of the barley harvest, the first part of the grain harvest. Thousands of years later, we find the same term used again in the Bible describing Jesus Christ. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:20. We also find that Jesus Christ is called the firstborn over all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:15-18. The Apostle Paul said that Christ was prophesied to be the first to rise from the dead. What is the connection between the first grain offering called the first fruits and Jesus Christ, the first fruits and firstborn from the dead? This understanding is tied in with the symbolism of the two harvests mentioned earlier and the Feast of Pentecost, observed at the conclusion of 50 days that began with the day the wave sheaf was offered. On Pentecost, two loaves were offered from the first fruits of the harvest, wheat harvest, which followed several weeks after the barley harvest. Just as there were two periods of physical harvesting in ancient Israel, so there would be two periods of spiritual harvesting in God's great plan for salvation of humanity. This astounding truth is shown through the symbolism of the Feast of Pentecost. sure that's talking about the first and second resurrection. So the meanings of Pentecost. Pentecost has several meanings, each significant in its own right. The word Pentecost means 50th day. In the Old Testament, this festival was known as the Feast of Weeks, 7 complete weeks plus 1 day. It was also called the Feast of Harvest or First Fruits in Exodus 23:16. The word first fruits suggests an initial harvest that will be followed by another harvest. The first fruits of the wheat harvest are preceded by the wave sheaf offering of the earlier ripening barley harvest. The wave sheaf is symbolic of Jesus Christ. Pentecost is an annual reminder of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church, as we read in Acts 2:1-4. Let's turn over that to Acts 2:1-4. Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. However, the festival holds even more significance. A clear understanding of the events leading up to the Feast of Pentecost makes its importance much clearer. Pentecost deals directly with our salvation and our ability to follow Christ's example through the power of God's Holy Spirit and our capacity for understanding God's spiritual truth through His Spirit. None of this understanding is possible without the fulfillment of the wave sheaf offering, Jesus Christ's acceptance by God the Father. So the wave sheaf offering is a forerunner. The wave sheaf offering was the forerunner of an additional offering brought later on the Feast of Pentecost. On Pentecost, 2 loaves of bread, the first fruits to the Lord, were offered. As the wave sheaf offering represented Jesus Christ, so did those loaves present God's spiritual first fruits, those who are called and faithfully obey God in this life. You can read about that in Romans 8:24. As the wave sheaf offering was the necessary forerunner of the Pentecost offering, so was Jesus Christ the necessary forerunner of God's people, who are His spiritual first fruits. These symbols demonstrate how God's holy days relate to each other and are designed to convey the interdependence, of the events in God's plan for humanity. For example, Passover is the first of God's annual festivals. God's plan for the salvation of mankind is built upon the death of Jesus Christ, our Passover, as an atoning sacrifice for humanity. As it says in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Christians cannot attain it to everlasting life without Christ's sacrifice, which reconciles us to God. The wave sheaf offered during the Feast of Unleavened Bread portrays a resurrected Jesus now serving as our high priest. Without the prior sacrifice of Christ, the fulfillment of Pentecost, the calling and salvation of the first fruits, those in God's church, could not occur. Christ returned to the Father. So let's notice a few scriptures that demonstrate these points. The Israelites' harvest season could not begin until the wave sheaf offering was made to and accepted by God. In like manner, the Holy Spirit was not poured out on humanity until after Jesus returned to the Father. Jesus himself had told his followers that he had to leave before the Holy Spirit could come to them. You can read about that in John 16:5-14. Even after his resurrection, Jesus Christ had to tell his followers not to touch him until after he had gone to his Father. That's in John 20:17. Only after Jesus had risen to the Father and returned to them again were they allowed to touch him. So notice the Apostle Paul's description of Christ, our resurrected wave sheaf offering. This is in Colossians 3:1-4. Colossians 3:1-4. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul reveals that our Savior occupies a place for us in the very presence of our Father, and that we are accepted by him through Christ Jesus. So now let's look at the symbols of the first fruit ceremony, all pointing to God or to Christ. In addition to the wave sheaf offering, the other sacrifices and offerings commanded by God at the time of this ceremony also pointed forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus was represented by a male lamb without blemish, which was symbolic of Christ's spiritual purity. Christ was called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, as we just talked about previously. He was also represented by fine flour in Leviticus 23:17, symbolic of the beating, scourging, and suffering through which he was perfected. This fine flour was to be mixed with oil, representing Christ being filled with the Holy Spirit. The lamb was to be a burnt offering totally consumed by fire. In the same way, Jesus Christ was tested and tried in the crucible of life's trials and problems, and then he surrendered himself totally and completely as a sacrificial offering on our behalf. His supreme sacrifice was as a sweet aroma to God because Jesus had given himself voluntarily and unconditionally for sinful mankind. Those who keep the Feast of Pentecost appreciate the relationship to Pentecost of the wave sheaf offering. Without the true wave sheaf offering, Jesus Christ, there would be no Holy Spirit to lead us, no church to spiritually nurture us, and no harvest for the salvation of humanity. The accompanying drink offering of wine was symbolic of Christ pouring out his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. The very day of the wave sheaf ceremony pointed forward to Christ. History records that the sheaf was harvested on Saturday night, which began the first day of the week. It was then waved before and accepted by God on the first day of the week, Sunday, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, would not let his followers touch him until he had returned to his Father. Later that same day, after he went to the Father, they could touch him. This occurred on the first day of the week, the Sunday during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The wave sheaf offering foretold the precise day of the week Christ would return to the Father more than 1,400 years before that day actually occurred. These astounding parallels give us a much deeper appreciation of the significance of the wave sheaf offering God commanded. Reading Leviticus 23, verses 10 through 14, with this understanding, helps us to better grasp both Jesus Christ's supreme importance in God's plan, as well as the meaning of the wave sheaf. Without a Savior who would give his life and be resurrected to life again, there could be no later harvesting of mankind for salvation. So Christ's purpose is foretold. About 1,500 years later, Jesus Christ explained his purpose to his followers using the analogy of grain. The hour has come that the Son of Man would be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. This imagery connects Jesus Christ's sacrifice to the salvation of all mankind. Only if Jesus Christ gave his own life could more life additional sons of God be produced. Christ's role, as depicted by the wave sheaf offering, differs somewhat from his role as depicted by the Passover sacrifice. Both reflect different aspects of his sacrifice and purpose in God's plan for the salvation of humanity. During his crucifixion, Jesus Christ declared that his sacrifice, as foreshadowed by the Passover, was completed. In John 19:30, he says, So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, Christ wasn't saying that God's plan for saving humankind was finished at his death. He was saying that the crucial, all-important giving of his life as our Passover sacrifice was finished. The death of Jesus Christ meant that mankind could and would be reconciled to God the Father. But beyond that sacrifice, there is another vital aspect of our salvation that is not yet complete. Jesus Christ's sacrifice alone, through his crucifixion, did not and does not save humankind. It did, however, reconcile humanity to God. Beyond his reconciliation lies another truth signified by the wave sheaf offering. For if we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:10. As the Passover precedes the wave sheaf offering, so reconciliation precedes our salvation. We are saved by Christ's resurrected divine life. So, all of this is made possible through Jesus Christ. Those who keep the Feast of Pentecost appreciate the relationship to Pentecost of the wave sheaf offering. Without the true wave sheaf offering, Jesus Christ, there would be no Holy Spirit to lead us, no church to spiritually nurture us, and no harvest for the salvation of humanity. Through these things, God continually assures and reminds his people that we have the promise of eternal life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise was made possible through God, who resurrected and accepted Jesus Christ, our wave sheaf offering. Have a great day, brethren.